little bit. I'm not a speaker of no kind. Everybody thinks I am, but I'm not. I don't want to put this in front of the emblem because I know that's an important thing to you guys. This is a small thing that I stole from the library a while ago. I have the best in the world, a person who looks up things that I need to talk about. And can't get her to do it, but she will look it up for me. There's a Trail of Tears. It's like all history. It's complicated. There's good and there's bad. We don't want to dwell on the bad, and we can't always dwell on the good without dwelling on the bad. And so, you know, this with me, history is a personal thing. I love it, always have. Any area you want to talk about, I'll find a subject. And I've lived long enough to live a little bit of it. Somebody at reenactment one time says, "Well, you know so much because you were around when this happened." And I said, no, I really wasn't. But anyway, the genealogy library, wonderful source of information for anything you basically want to know, but especially Caldwell County history. And Caldwell County was played a part during the Trail of Tears. Where to start? I don't want to bore you to death with a lot of history, but and dates and that kind of thing, because the mind can only stand what the butt'll take, and I don't want y'all to have to sit here very long, because I could go all day. But I've got some little things here. They followed, start here. In the 1830s, the United States was young, raw, eager, and they were not greatly concerned with basic human rights. It was decided to move the Indians to Oklahoma. Well, Oklahoma Territory at that time. The Cherokees took it to the Supreme Court. They won. But guess what? Just like politics today, they choose to ignore facts and what happened. So they were forced to move. So about 1838, a lot of the tribes had already, I'm going to pass these around, let you guys kind of look at this a little bit. And everybody share. But anyway, the Trail of Tears covers, depending on who you listen to, covers from 800 to about 1,100 miles. And they rounded the people up. And there was, if you know a little history, Winfield Scott Hancock was probably one of even up until the time of the Civil War, was an important general. And he was in charge of the removal. And they drew the Indians from North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, and Tennessee. And they rounded them up. Now, a lot of the tribes, there was what they call five civilized tribes, a lot of them moved ahead and went on and left. The Cherokees did not. They still thought they owned everything out there. And they did at one time, till it was basically stolen from them. But anyway, they rounded these people up and they kept them confined and with poor food, poor provisions. And it's like all government projects, the more they touch, the screwed up it gets. But I mean, they didn't have all the provisions they needed. Several of them died even before it started. And so some of the Cherokees decided that they would remove themselves, but the government kind of herded them along. But anyway, there's a whole lot of history between, there's a place called New Ecota, Georgia, and that was the Cherokee capital. The Cherokees probably put themselves in with, well, for lack of a better word, the white people of the ones that are of the day. They assimilated better than a lot of the tribes did. And so anyway, it was decided that they were going to move them. And so several died before they ever left. And then they divided them up into detachments of about 1,000 apiece and moved them. And in 1839, in October, there was one of the soldiers along the way kept a diary. And I can give you three dates. And it says October 18th, They only made 5 miles. The weather was horrible, muddy, and their wagons, what they had, broke down, but a lot of people were walking and riding. They issued corn and fodder for the animals, cornmeal and bacon to the people. And they only made 5 miles that day. That was October 18th. October 25th, they made 14 miles. Buried a child, last name of Andrews, corn and fodder issued. November 1st, 19 miles. Buried an Indian named Duck. Buried his child. They issued corn, fodder, flour, and bacon. And I don't know how many of you guys have ever done any studying, but a ration to a soldier was not a lot. You know, they rounded up what they could get. But that was the way it was. And as they passed through the area from New Akota, Georgia, and one of the routes came through here, there was dry goods stores, names you would know, Hartendine, Shepherdson, Dudley, and Rackerby. Now, they would buy things, or well, the government gave vouchers to them to pick up things. And I do know that we can't find the exact voucher, but there was some muslin material for a shroud for a child that had passed away at one of these stores. And anyway, that's kind of the bad, and it took them, I mean, like 4,000 of them died on the way. And they were just buried in shallow graves wherever they fell. But that's, like I said about history, you know, it's something we don't want to forget. So the last few years, well, about 1988 exactly, Hopkinsville started a Trail of Tears Commission because they knew that some were buried that had been on the Trail of Tears. And then our bunch, we've started about a little bit later than that. I've only been a member of it about 10 years, but I think we've been going about 15 or so. And those poor people want me to be the president every year, and I'm not good at it. But anyway, we try to, down at our park, Trail of Tears Park, we were able to get some grants and a lot of really generous people. They wanted to put up a monument. And when they first presented that to me, I'm thinking, this is going to take 3 years. You know, I mean, this is no way. Well, I'm going to tell you, it took 10 months. We had a design. We knew what we kind of wanted to do. And I just couldn't believe how people just all came together in the community and gave to that project. And so, you know, this is kind of our mark. They believe that one of the detachments stopped around the Big Springs area. Now, if you know much about Princeton, there's about 5 springs, if you know where they are. A couple of them put out a lot of good water. That's why William Prince and them came here, was the water at the Big Spring. But there's some others that are not very far away. And they camped them in places like that where they could get water, get provisions that they needed. And so that's kind of Princeton's claim to fame, if you will, for the Trail of Tears. Nowadays, we have the Princeton Caldwell County Trail of Tears Commission, and we do things at the schools. We have artifacts, we have hides, animal hides. I mean, a lot of kids have not ever seen or been able to touch an animal like there are around here. And so we go there and we play games with them. We have one fellow built us a corn grinder, which is a stump with a big old hole in it, and a big thing looks like a gigantic ball bat. And that's how they ground their corn. They just beat the tar out of it, basically. And then you had to sift it out because if it's too coarse, it messes with your system. So you can't eat that stuff. But anyway, I mean, this is the kind of thing they had. We try to show them these things. The fifth grade does they do a poster contest, and we award. Well, this year we've done like 5 or 6 different prizes, and like $100 couple of 50s, about three or four 25s. So, I mean, we try to get them interested in it and show them these things. The teachers out of the school do a really great job with showing them and telling them how it was. Now, is it all just the way it was? Nah, not really, but at least it might pique their interest and hopefully they will learn something from it. This just recently, I think it was the 10th of June. Is that a Saturday? I don't remember. But anyway, a couple of weeks ago, they have, every year we have the, what they call Remember the Removal Riders. There is a group of, from the Eastern Band of Cherokee, which hid out. That's why there's an Eastern Band. And then the Western Band, they get together at New Akota, Georgia, and they start and they ride bicycle from here to Tahlequah, Oklahoma, and it takes several days. I think when they had gotten here, they had been on the road 7 days. But they come through here about the first or second week in June every year, and they're very interesting people to meet and talk to. A lot of them, they want to remember what happened to their ancestors, and this is the way they feel that they can do it, and we get a lot of help. I know First Bank helps feed them when they come here, and it's kind of a neat thing to talk to these. Well, I call them kids, but some of them's almost near as old as me that I've seen riding the last few years. And anyway, it's something that, like I said, you know, history, there's good and bad. And this is something that, you know, you've got to admire the people that they started out and was being forced into a place they didn't know where they were going. They had no time to get ready to go. And, I mean, some of them just, all they had was what was on their back. Some of them didn't even have shoes. But this was the way it was, and they were being forced to move. But if you got questions, I might answer them better than I can stand here and bloviate about 20 more minutes on stuff you may not want to know. But it's always been all history interests me, and I know it's how it is, or you know how it was, and you must remember the winners write the histories. So you got to dig deep. You got to find the diaries. You got, and this is any era you want to talk about, whether it be this era, the Civil War, Revolutionary War, you find the diaries, and then you find what really happened by average people like all of us, you know, I mean, and I watched the education, and I'm seeing it kind of go away, and they don't do things like that anymore, and I really wish they did, but we all are responsible for who comes behind us. If we do not teach them, who's going to? And that bothers me more than anything else about all of it. You know, they're not going to know. People like me, we're a dying breed. We're about gone, you know. I know a whole lot. I can show you a whole lot. I can tell you a whole lot. But if I don't interest you in what's going on, it's kind of hard. And that's one thing I do like about going and doing the things I do. A lot of times I bring a lot of props. And when you put things in kids' hands that they can see and feel, you know, you can teach them so much more, or at least I think so. Now, I could be way out in left field, which I usually am, and probably should have stayed there. But anyway, if you all have a question, I'll try to answer it as truthfully as I can, because I like that thing you had here a while ago. Is it the truth? Well, I will tell you this. It's the truth as far as I know it, and if I'm wrong, I apologize. And if you have a question I can't answer, I will look it up, I promise you, and get back to you and tell you. That's what I always tell the kids whenever we go talk to them. Fifth graders, eighth graders, those kids seem to be interested in a whole lot of stuff. And if you can work with them a little bit more than maybe you can. Of course, the others are, the younger ones are a little too young to understand. But people, we have got to, I'm on the soapbox, I shouldn't be, I'm sorry. But we have got to teach these kids history. They ain't learning it now. They're not learning it like we do. And I'm not criticizing the teachers, because it ain't their fault. They're having to teach to a test that, as far as I'm concerned, is worthless when it comes to living or learning how to do something that's going to be beneficial to you. And I mean, you've got to do that. You've got to do that. And that's just, you know, this ain't got to do with the Trail of Tears. It's just Robert talking. So.
Tell them, I think it's been so interesting how advanced the Cherokee were with their own language.
Oh, they were. They were more like the settlers that were coming in, or they turned themselves into that. I know I have, and I have no Cherokee blood left, but I have a, if you do a little research in Cherokee, in the 1740s and 50s, you will find a lady named Nancy Ward. Well, she was a big deal with the Cherokee. She was what they call the last war woman. I mean, the women in the Cherokee Nation owned everything. If a guy come home and his stuff's out in the yard, bye, it was hers, it wasn't yours. They were advanced as far as the dress. They were very eloquent speakers, and that's basically how they won in the Supreme Court. They had good lawyers and people like Davy Crockett and Sam Houston. The treaty, there was a fraudulent treaty signed, like 20 of them, and they used that against them to take their land. Is basically what happened, and.
Printing press and language?
Oh, yeah, there was a man named Sequoia who developed a, it's kind of an alphabet, but they call it a syllabary or something like that, and I cannot pronounce very much in Cherokee. I know maybe two words, but they were really, really advanced as far as the way the rest of them were. But as the settlers come in, of course, they wanted land. And Cherokees having no records of anybody owning anything because it was all theirs. It was not any individuals. So they were different, you know, they were different that way, and I think they kind of took advantage of that. But now that's Robert talking, you know. But they were very advanced people. They observed for the way we act now. And I don't know what else to tell you about that. That's a good question.
Well, the oven, and I remember, wasn't President Jackson the one that really pushed looking for gold or something?
Yep. And well, yep.
People that were wealthy were looking for
gold. Gold being discovered in Georgia was one of the big motivators into moving them on out of there. Jackson is not the only bad guy involved in this. I can tell you this, Cherokee still hated. And I know that. But they, I mean, he was the one that kind of usurped the, if you will, for lack of a better word, the Supreme Court ruling. You know, they moved them anyway. And that's the history of it. So please ask me a question.
Because I was not aware that they had won Supreme Court. And so that was going to be my question about, okay, if they won, then, and of course, we know historically prevalence will always be greed and power.
Exactly, and that was what the whole thing was about, Debbie. You know, it's exactly what the whole thing was about. It's greed over land, power, gold, what they considered money, you know, back then. And human nature tells you you're going to get it one way or another, and so we're going to steal it from you.
So that's basically what they did. They won the Supreme Court. However, you were saying that if the... they were able to.
They just ignored it.
Because there were the land treaties or
land the treaties saying. Yeah, because of an old treaty that wasn't any good, and that's one of the reasons Davy Crockett went to Texas. He was in Congress and they sent him on a tour because he was so outspoken in favor of the Cherokees. They sent him on a big tour you know, they acted like they were wanting to try to elect him to be a president or something like that. And while he was gone, they took this up in Congress, and he wasn't there to speak for them. So, and in his immortal words, y'all may go to hell, but I'm going to Texas. And of course, you see how that worked for him. Not so good. But that's the kind of... You kind of had this on both sides. Sam Houston was part Cherokee. He spoke out against it, and of course, he ended up governor of Texas. And so that's, But that's the way it was. And I mean, you can't do anything about it, can't change it, but you don't want to forget it. And so that's why I admire these kids that ride through here on these bicycles every year to remember what their people went through. And they train, and they could only do it one time. And some of the ones that have been with them when they come through were riders on it before, and they're like the support group. Each Cherokee Nation sends police officers with them to escort them, and it's really a nice thing. And anybody that wants to, anytime they come through here, like I say, the first or second week in June, you can come down and meet them and talk to them, and they're very interested. But all of them seem to focus on the fact that this is the way they can remember their history. And that to me is a good thing, that's what they should be doing. Does that help any? I'm wearing y'all out, and I know I am.
One more thing. Where are the murals?
They're stored in the basement of the Art Guild because they need to be retouched up. And one reason they were taken down is Mr. Schalk bought the building. I think he was afraid if they fell on something, he'd get sued. So that's why they were taken down.
But the ones that are on between Market,
Washington. Yeah, as far as I know, they're there with them, as far as I know. But they were all took down.
Debbie has seen them, and the paint.
Yeah, it's just peeling.
Completely falling off. It's turned into dust.
Yeah.
And it's.
Yeah, the age of them has kind of deteriorated them down. I hated to see them go, too, because I thought it was a pretty neat thing. Well, it's like the ones at Paducah on the flood wall. I think those things are neat because it shows you history, and it might make you ask a question that you might need to answer, or you find a place to look or whatever.
I was going
to
say. History is critical, and as far as history is concerned, the one thing that's killing history is revisionist history.
Sure.
Will be taken and say, well, we don't want to acknowledge this.
Yeah. Yeah, when you try to hide it, it don't get better, it gets worse, really.
You mentioned that vouchers was given out. Were they given to the soldiers, or were they given to the...
The soldiers would give them to the storekeepers, or where they would get their stuff, and that was supposed to be the way that the owners got paid back for what they produced or gave to them for their keep. You got to kind of wonder. I mean, you didn't run down to Walmart and buy what you needed, you know. And then these people didn't have a lot of money anyway. Money was not a thing. They were land poor. They had land, didn't have no money. And that's the way it used to be that way here, even, you know, like in the early 1800s, whenever they first started settling this. You may have 1,000 acres of ground, but if you ain't got a nickel, it's going to be hard to pay your taxes, and you have a flop on your crop, and you can't raise enough money, and it produces things like going on in history, Black Patch War. It'll produce things like that because people are going to try to find a way to make a living the best way they can. Now, this may not help you guys much. I will say that we're always looking for members. We've got a guy named Grit Gregory. He'll be at the George Coon Library Friday 13th. And he's an expert on several subjects, including the Bell Witch, and he wrote a book. And so on Friday 13th, he'll be speaking there at 5 o'clock and have a book signing. The guy that's the state Trail of Tears man, Bob Yost, will be speaking in our annual meeting. And I wish I knew what date was, but we hadn't said it yet. It'll be in July. But that's about what I know. It ain't much, I'm sorry.
Well, Robert, thank you for what I mean, because growing up in Princeton, I knew about the Trail of Tears through my mom, mm-hmm. but not through school. Was never discussed.
You didn't learn it.
So greatly appreciate that. Y'all are making great efforts to, teach children.
We're trying to teach them. Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
And I just wanted to add my cousin, Shirley Seabreeze,
mm-hmm.
in her book, The Lost Jewel of Great Horse, she talks about the Trail of Tears. And that is my understanding, that one of our ancestors actually married one of the Cherokee Indians, mm-hmm. which was prohibited during that time, but that is supposedly how Indian blood got into our family.
Yeah, well, that's an interesting subject. Yes, sir.
Is there any indication as to how many of the Cherokee marched through?
Through
Princeton and Caldwell County?
There was at least, I hope I'm not telling y'all wrong, I think there's at least three different detachments that came through. What they would do is they'd start them 3 or 4 days apart. But as people got sick and they had to slow down and passed away and you had to stop and bury them and that kind of thing, it just took them a long time. Like I said, one day they made 5 miles, the next, you know, three or four days later they made 14. But, I mean, can you imagine if you didn't have a wagon, and most of them didn't, carrying whatever little you had with you, and that was all. No matter where you were going, that was all you had. And I don't think any of us can fathom that. I truly don't. I mean,
walk 14 miles, none of us, I mean, it would be tough.
Ain't that the truth? I'd die if I had to walk 5, I believe, you know, now. But I mean, yes, sir.
Quick question. You mentioned there were 4 springs.
Yeah, there's at least 4 or 5, yeah.
Do you know the locations of those?
I know where most of them are.
Is Hayes Spring one of them?
Yeah, the Big Spring is the main one. Okay, now, if you turn onto Katy Street and you cross that little bridge, up to the left is the next most active, and its name was Dallam Springs. And I walked back to it. It just comes out of a small place. And then along Hopkinsville Street, and back on, one of them starts up there by the airport, up in the, what's the little housing project up in there, Cooper Circle. All right, one of them starts just below where the airport runway ends or starts. And it's just part of one of them. And then there's 3 or 4 more small springs, like let's say down beside Hopkinsville Street, all down through that little creek area right there. There's a lot of springs, but I've seen them on a map. As far as me finding them, that's a whole nother thing. If the right time of year, it'd be, some of them would be wet weather springs. You're only going to see them every now and then, but that's, yeah, there's at least that many down in that area. So sorry about that.
Thank you.
For 30 minutes worth of prep, that's all I can come up with. But if you want to know more, there's always more to everything. If you want to know more, holler at me. I can sit and talk to you for hours.